السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
تبارك
أصلا
الرحمن.
نعم يا شيخنا،
كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله.
شكرا. نستمر.
يس نعم.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، we are on our book الأدب المفرد by الإمام البخاري رحمه الله أبو عبد الله Muhammad ibn Ismail rahimahullah. And in the last class yesterday, we ended the discourses about al-inbisatu ila nas, being cheerful and pleasant in our dealings with the people, that we as Muslims must be cheerful, we must be open, we must relate with the people and be delightful, pleasant in our dealings with them. And in all of that, it must exclude being uncouth, being uncivilized, being harsh in our dealings with them. We should be calm, easygoing people. We must also include in our relationship with people, we must accustom ourselves to being ready to overlook the faults of the people. Allah told us in the Quran, and that's a verse to hold on to. Allah says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ, take to giving overlook, take to pardoning. وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, when people offend you, be close to them to guide them to goodness, command good and forbid evil. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِ, when it becomes very difficult for such individuals to adjust, don't descend to become like them, keep away, hold back. Don't be like them. So these are the basic rules regarding our relationship with people. In the next chapter that follows, and that is the chapter about At-Tabassum, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Babu At-Tabassumi, the chapter about smiling. What is the sunnah about smiling? Sometimes many of us, especially our younger brothers upon the sunnah, you find that we keep a very, very sad face. We keep a harsh face. But keeping a harsh face is not from the sunnah at all. From the sunnah of the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that he would smile. We remember that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa. Tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa. You're smiling. Keeping a face of cheerfulness, keeping a countenance of welcoming countenance is from the aspects of sadaqah. Sometimes people think that when you keep a tough look, when you give a tough countenance, when you give an unwelcoming countenance, that shows that you are righteous. But we have heard from the statement of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here, and that hadith occurs in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. It says, tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa. Tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa. Your smiling at the face of your brother is from the aspects of good deeds. Don't forget, sadaqa is a word that is used to express whatever is good. Every good thing comes under the sadaqa, as if to say, the reward for sadaqah will be the same reward for smiling in the face of your brother. So Islam encourages us to smile. We should give a smiling face. And we know even in psychology, psychologists encourage the people to smile. They say it brings about joy, a sense of joy and happiness. It brings about good dealings. It encourages good dealings with the people. Someone approaches you, he wants to say assalamu alaikum. And when he looks at your face is smiling. He will read from that smile, he will read from that beam that you are inviting him, you are encouraging him to move ahead and give the taslim. But when he looks at the face and the face is worrisome, is unwelcoming, it's a hard look, then he feels held back. Even if he wants to give the taslim, and even if he finally gives the taslim, he doesn't give the taslim delightfully. So this is not from the aspects of dealing with people pleasantly. So from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is that he would smile. One of the companions said, radiyallahu anhum, ma ra'aytu ahadan akthara tabassuman min rasulillah alayhi salatu wa salam. Ma ra'aytu ahadan akthara tabassuman min rasulillah. I had never seen anyone akthara tabassuman, who gives much smiling, who gives much countenance of welcome, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yatabassam. He was a person who would smile. So to smile is sunnah, smile. To smile is sunnah, so smile. So here al-Imam al-Bukhari, that comes under hadith 250. He says, حدثنا علي بن عبد الله قال حدثنا سفيان عن إسماعيل عن قيس قال سمعت جريرا يقول ما رآني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم منذ أسلمت إلا تبسم في وجهي ما رآني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم منذ أسلمت إلا تبسم في وجهي وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يدخل من هذا الباب رجل من خير ذي يمن على وجهه مسحة ملك فدخل جرير رضي الله عنه. الإمام البخاري said رحمه الله, he said حدثنا علي ابن عبد الله. Ali ibn Abdullah, we read a number of hadith from him. That is Al-Imam Ali al-Madini rahimahullah. He was from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, and he was a colleague to Al-Imam Ahmad. Ali ibn al-Madini rahimahullah. He says, حدثنا Ali ibn Abdullah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported that hadith from his teacher, well known with him, Ali ibn al-Madini rahimahullah. He said, حدثنا Sufyan. Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Madini is reporting that hadith from Sufyan ibn Uyayna. And he is reporting from Ismail. That's Ismail ibn Ulayya. He is also reporting from Qais. And that's Qais ibn Abi Hazim, who is reporting from Jarir. Jarir is the companion, is the Sahabi of this hadith, and that is Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali radiyallahu anhu is the companion of this hadith. We remember that Jarir ibn Abdullah, we read a hadith regarding him, that the scholars refer to him as Yusuf al-Umma. Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, Abu Amr. The scholars refer to him as Yusuf al-Ummah. He is referred to as the Yusuf of this Ummah. Umar also, radiyallahu anhu, used to refer to Jarir as Yusuf al-Ummah. Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. His Islam was very late, radiyallahu anhu. The Islam of Jarir ibn Abdullah was late. But he was a very, very handsome companion. And he was a companion that they brought the rest of his people, over 150, to Islam. Jarir ibn Abdullah. But what he was described with, and repeatedly so, was his handsomeness. Jarir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu al-Bajali was so handsome. Al-Imam of Zahabi said, rahimahullah, kana badi al-husni. He was so, so beautiful. Kamil al-Jamal, perfect in his handsomeness. Radiyallahu anhu. So Jarir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu was a very, very, very handsome and beautifully looking companion. of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet loved him so much. Al-Imam Muslim reports a hadith wherein Jarir ibn Abdullah came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, "Inni rajulun la athbutu ala al-khayl." Jarir ibn Abdullah, if he went upon the mount, if he mounted on a horse, la yathbutu ala al-khayl, he would not be stable. He scares, he goes on the horse upon a scare. He is scared, so he's not stable. La yathbutu ala al-khayl. When he climbs a horse, he is not stable. Radiallahu anhu. So he came to say that to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَوَضُعَ يَدَهُ فِي صَدْرِي. He reported and said, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his hands on my chest and said, Allahumma thabbithu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his hands on the chest of Jarir and said, O Allah, thabbithu, make Jarir to be firm. Allahumma thabbithu, O Allah, make Jarir firm. Waj'alhu hadiyan mahdiya, make Jarir hadiyan, a person who guides others, mahdiya, and a person who is guided. Make him mahdiyan, a guided person. Make him hadiyan, a person who guides others. And that was what Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali become. There are other companions, there are other aspects of the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. In some reports, it said that the Prophet continued and said, wa barik fihi fi dhurriyatihi, and bless him in his descendants, bless his offsprings. Radiyallahu anhu. We had a lot of children from amongst the scholars of hadith and the generation that followed that generation. The companion who has reported this hadith, radiyallahu anhu, was Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali Abu Amr Yusuf al-Umma, radiyallahu anhu, yakul. He said, radiyallahu anhu, ما رآني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم منذ أسلمت إلا تبسم في وجهي. ما رآني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم منذ أسلمت إلا تبسم في وجهي. This hadith was also reported by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi and Al-Imam al-Muslim. Before this statement, it said that ما حجبني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم منذ أسلمت. ما حجبني, since I became a Muslim. ما حجبني رسول الله, the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم would not speak to me from behind the veil. If I came to the house of the Messenger and I sought permission to see me, Ma hajabani, he wouldn't speak to me from behind the veil. He quickly stopped what he did and allowed me to come in. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam honored Jarir so much. Jarir was so honorable before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, Ma hajabani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mungu aslamtu, since I became a Muslim. Ma hajabani Rasulullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he quickly allowed me into his house. He never left me behind the veil. He never left me outside. When I came, he quickly allowed me in, alayhi salatu wa salam. Wa ma ra'ani rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mundu aslamtu illa tabassama fi wajhi. Likewise, ma ra'ani rasulullah, the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, never saw me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, منذ أسلمت, since when I became a Muslim, إلا تبسم في وجهي, except that he smiled. He smiled to me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he saw Jarir, he would smile. This is the point of reference in this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to smile to his companions. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his countenance was welcoming to his companions. He would not only welcome them by the words of the mouth. The prophet used to smile, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the meaning of that smile is the welcoming smile, the smile that welcomes the individual. You are welcome, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali said, ما رآني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم منذ أسلمت إلا تبسم في وجهي. The Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام never saw me since I became a Muslim إلا تبسم في وجهي, except that he smiled to me. He gave me a welcoming countenance. So, oh brother, you look rough, you look unkempt. You keep a hard look every day, thinking that that is the sunnah. I hope that you have heard from the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, how he was. The Messenger gave a countenance that welcomed the people. He smiled to them. So smile to the people. Smile. To smile is from the aspects of the sunnah. And as we read in an hadith earlier, that smiling also, tabassumuka fi wajhi akhika sadaqa. When you smile to your brother, is you get the reward of the person who gives sadaqah. So if you are not giving sadaqah, you don't have the money to give sadaqah. You don't have food to give as sadaqah. You don't have clothes to provide as sadaqah. You don't have anything to give. You can give a smile and gain the rewards of sadaqah. So smile, because smiling is from the sunnah of your messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali said, Ma ra'ani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama mundu aslamtu illa tabassama fi wajhi. The Messenger never saw me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam since I became a Muslim, except that he gave me a smile. Wa qala Rasulullah. This is a point of reference. So, and then the next thing in that narration was that Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali said, and then the Messenger would say, يَدْخُلُ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَابِ رَجُلٌ مِنْ خَيْرِ ذِي يَمَنْ يَدْخُلُ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَابِ رَجُلٌ مِنْ خَيْرِ ذِي يَمَنْ A man, يَدْخُلُ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَابِ would come in from this door. He will point to the door and say, one man will come in now, مِنْ خَيْرِ ذِي يَمَنْ from amongst the best people from the people of Yemen. So Jarir ibn Abdullah was a honorable people amongst his person, amongst his people. Jarir was very, very honorable. So the Prophet would say, alayhi salatu salam, from amongst the best people, from the people, person, from the people of Yemen. He will soon come in now. And the Prophet would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ala wajhihi mashatu malakin. Ala wajhihi, that person who would come, who is from amongst the best people, from amongst the people of Yemen. Ala wajhihi mashatu malak. He has beauty, masha. He has a pathos, an angelic look, so to say. It used to be said, if a person was very, very beautiful, they used to be compared to angels. So Jarir ibn Abdullah has a look that's so beautiful like that. فَدَخَلَ جَرِيرٌ. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, يَدْخُلُ مِنْ هَذَا الْبَابِ رَجُلٌ مِنْ خَيْرِ ذِي يَمَنْ A man would, from this door coming now, مِنْ خَيْرِ ذِي يَمَنْ is from amongst the best, amongst the people of Yemen. And this man, ala wajihi mashatu malak. Masha is a part of something, the part of a thing. The malak is the angel, as if he has a part of him that is angelic. And that's describing the beauty and the handsomeness of Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. So when the Prophet said that, Jarir came in, radiallahu anhu. So that goes to tell us how so honored and respected Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali was in the sight of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the point of reference for us in this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yatabassamu. The Prophet would smile. Alayhi salatu wassalam, he would smile so much that the companion, another companion said, Ma ra'aytu ahadan akthara tabassuman min Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I do not know anybody akthara tabassuman, who smiled much more, who gave much more smiles than the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. Here it is necessary to point out a major difference between smiling and laughing. And we'll be discussing laughter in the next bab. Babu dhahik. That is the next chapter. At dhahik, much of laughter is discouraged. We shall come back to it. Much of laughing is discouraged in Islam. And it can even go to the level of prohibition. But as far as smiling, merely smiling is concerned, smiling is encouraged in Islam. And it is from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam to smile. The Prophet used to smile. So smile. So if you smile, by the fact that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam used to smile, so you have two rewards. You have the reward of intending to follow the Prophet Muhammad and be like him alayhi salatu wasalam. You also have the reward of giving sadaqah, because he said alayhi salatu wasalam, تَبَصُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقًا. You're smiling in the face of your brother, giving your brother a face of smiling is something that is encouraged in Islam, and you gain the rewards of a sadaqah when you do that. I think that will suffice for Hadith 250. We move to Hadith 251. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, حدثنا أحمد بن عيسى قال حدثنا عبد الله بن وهب قال أخبرنا عمرو بن الحارث أن أبا النضر حدثه عن سليمان بن يسار عن عائشة رضي الله عنها زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قالت ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ضاحكا قط حتى أرى منه لهواته إنما كان يتبسم. قالت وكان إذا رأى غيما أو ريحا عرف في وجهه. فقالت يا رسول الله إن الناس إذا رأوا الغيم فرحوا رجاء أن يكون فيه المطر، وأراك إذا رأيته عرفت في وجهك الكراهة. فقال يا عائشة ما يؤمنني أن يكون فيه عذاب، عذب قوم بالريح وقد رأى قوم العذاب منه، فقالوا هذا عارض ممطرنا. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reported this hadith from his Sheikh Ahmad ibn Isa, who said حدثنا عبد الله ibn Wahab. عبد الله ibn Wahab reported this hadith, and Ahmad ibn Isa, the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, reported it from Abdullah ibn Wahab, who said, أَخْبَرُنَا أَمْرُ بْنُ الْحَارِثِ أَنَّ أَبَا النَّضْرِ حَدَّثَهُ عَنْ سُلَيْمَانِ ibn Yasar. So the tabi'i of this hadith is Sulaiman ibn Yasar. The tabi'i of this hadith is Sulaiman ibn Yasar. And we know Sulaiman ibn Yasar is the brother of Atta'u ibn Yasar. Sulaiman ibn Yasar is the brother of Atta'u ibn Yasar. So Sulaiman ibn Yasar, who was also very, very handsome, amongst those who've been discussed and mentioned with very, very big beauty, large portions of beauty, was Sulaiman ibn Yasar. He is Abu Ayyub al-Hilali, rahimahullah. He was a tabi'i from amongst the tabi'un, and he is the brother to Atta'u ibn Yasar, whose hadith we read from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr of the past in the preceding chapter. So Sulaiman ibn Yasar reported from our mother Aisha radiyallahu anha, zawji al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qalat, our mother Aisha said, ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ضاحكا قط حتى أرى منه لهواته ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ضاحكا قط. I'd never seen Aisha, our mother, the wife of the messenger. The implication is that he is the wife of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And one common thing is that our wives see us when we laugh. Our wives see us when we smile. So if she, as the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, she said, ما رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ضاحكا قط حتى أرى منه لهواته. I never saw the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam smiling so much. ضاحكا قط. I never saw him at all. I never saw him smiling so much, hatta, so much that ara minhu lahwati, I will saw his lahwat. We remember the lahwat because she used to see the lahwat of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We remember that when we discussed the story of the woman Zainab bintul Harith al-Yahudiyah, who poisoned a piece of meat and gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik reported, we read in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and it was also in the report of our mother Aisha in Sahih al-Bukhari, that they would see the signs of that poisoning in the lahwat. They would see the dark sign of the poison in the lahwat, in the upper mouth area, towards the throat, the upper part of the throat area. I think the scientists refer to that as the uvula, U-V-U-L-A, the uvula. The upper part of the mouth inside the throat area. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would not smile, open his mouth so much that the lahawat will be seen. Our mother Aisha said, I never saw him do that. Never saw him do that. She never saw the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam laughing so much, opening the entirety of the mouth. The Prophet did not used to do that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note this, O brother. If we say smiling is from the aspects of the sunnah, laughing is discouraged. Laugh, laughter, laughing, opening the mouth, this is discouraged. The Messenger did not used to do that, alayhi salatu wasalam. For the times our mother Aisha was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about a period of 9 years, and we knew how closely she was with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, مَا رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ ضَاحِكًا قَطُّ. I never saw him smiling at all so much that حَتَّى أَرَى مِنْهُ لَهَوَاتِهِ. I would now begin to see the upper part of his mouth. I never did that. I never saw him smiling like that. So, oh brother, don't be a smiley that you'll be laughing so much that people know you as a laughing person. And this makes us understand that those films and documentaries people watch that is just about laughing, they are not encouraged in Islam. We'll come back to that, inshallah, in the chapter that follows. Islam discourages us that we laugh and laugh and laugh. So why do you pay your money to buy a film, to download a film that's just all about laughing, when the Sharia has discouraged you from laughing? It's a discouraged thing. So don't go on laughing, laughing, laughing. What we are rather encouraged to do is what? Is to smile. And every person knows the difference between a smile and a laughter. May Allah protect us all. But our mother clarified it, radiyallahu anha. She said, إِنَّمَا كَانَ يَتَبَسَّمُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innama, this innama, linguists refer it to as adatu al-hasri, is a particle of restriction. It means that he did not used to do more than at-tabassum. Innama kana yatabassam. He would only smile, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw a thing that amazed him, that astonished him, that attracted him, that pleased him, that delighted him, alayhi salatu wasalam. إِنَّمَا كَانَ يَتَبَسَّمُ. He would only smile. So they laughed out, ha 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 ha, opening the mouths and smile and laughing, giving voices like this. They are discouraged in our religion. إِنَّمَا كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. إِنَّمَا كَانَ يَتَبَسَّمُ. Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he would only smile. And this is a point of reference in this hadith. أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ كَانَ يَتَبَسَّمُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he would smile. And then our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, وَكَانَ إِذَا, from the aspects of describing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before I go to this, I think we would have noticed that in the narrations that come under every chapter, sometimes the points of benefit in that hadith are more than just what has been deduced from it. You would find in the hadith of Jarir, Jarir told us that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he saw him, he smiled. And then he told us about what the Prophet said about him, that a man would soon come in from the people of Yemen, from the honorable people of Yemen, radiallahu anhu. He has a touch, he has an angelic touch with him. And then Jarir came in. This hadith that praises the look of Jarir will come in under the issues of Fada'il Jarir, Fada'il al-Sahaba, from the virtues of that companion. And that's where you find that hadith in Sahih Muslim. But here you find the same hadith under the chapter on At-Tabassum. Why? The point we want to derive from that hadith is about what? Tabassum, smiling. So in this hadith of Aisha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not choose to laugh and open his mouth. He would only smile. The point of reference in this hadith is that the Prophet is to smile. So we can have one single hadith, but a lot of points of benefit will come in the same hadith. So from the points of benefit that comes in this hadith of Aisha is what we shall read now. She said, radiallahu anha, وَكَانَ إِذَا رَأَى زَيْمًا أَوْ رِيحًا عُرِفَ فِي وَجْهِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said, كَانَ إِذَا رَأَى زَيْمًا, if the Prophet saw a gathering cloud, when the cloud begins to gather, أَوْ رِيحًا, or the wind begins to blow, when the cloud begins to gather, or the wind begins to blow, صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet, عُرِفَ فِي وَجْهِهِ, it will be seen on his face. He was a person who smiled. He gave smiles. But when there is wind, or when there is a cloud gathering, عُرِفَ فِي وَجْهِهِ, his countenance will change. It will be noticed, عُرِفَ, it will be noticed, it will be observed, فِي وَجْهِهِ, in his countenance. His countenance will show unease. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. For us, we'll be laughing and smiling and delighting. Let us come down to see why the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam would give an uneasy countenance when he saw a gathering cloud or a blowing wind. So our mother said, radiallahu anha, كَانَ إِذَا رَأَى غَيْمًا أَوْ رِيحًا عُرِفَ فِي وَجْهِهِ. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a gathering cloud as if it wants to rain, أو ريحًا, or the blowing wind, عُرِفَ فِي وَجْهِهِ, that is to be noticed on his countenance. فَقَالَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, the close wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his beloved wife, Amr ibn al-As went to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَيْكِ, who is the most beloved of the people to you? The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha. So from amongst the most beloved persons to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was who? Aisha. So she was describing the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam, when he saw a gathering wind, a gathering cloud. Gaim is a gathering cloud that shows as if it wants to rain. And the rih is the blowing wind. عُرِفَ فِي وَجْهِهِ, it will be noticed on his countenance. So she would ask him, Ya Rasulallah, إن الناس إذا رأوا الغيم فرحوا. Messenger of Allah, as for the rest of the people, إذا رأوا الغيم, when they saw the gathering cloud, فرحوا, they will be gladdened, they will be happy, they will be happy, they will be delighted. رجاء أن يكون فيه المطر. رجاء, hoping that أن يكون فيه المطر. There will be rains in that cloud. When people saw the cloud gathering, فرحوا, they joyed, they delighted. رجاء أن يكون فيه المطر. Because they anticipate from that rain, they anticipate from that cloud rains. وَأَرَاكَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُ عُرِفَتْ فِي وَجْهِكَ الْكَرَاهَ. But as for you, إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُ, if you saw the gathering cloud or the blowing wind, عُرِفَتْ فِي وَجْهِكَ الْكَرَاهَ, unease becomes noticed on your countenance. Your face begins to show unease. Messenger of Allah, why? When people see the gathering cloud, they are happy. But when you see the gathering cloud, your countenance shows unease. فَقَالَ يَا عَيْشَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi. This was how Aisha gathered a lot of knowledge. She used to ask him questions, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he used to provide her explanations. If we want to go to the books of hadith, to compile the questions of Aisha to her husband, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, we can come out with a book. Our mother Aisha, she used to ask him questions. Why is this like this? Why is this like this? Why is this not like this? Why did it happen like this? There are a lot of ahadith in which Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to ask the Prophet Muhammad questions and he would provide answers. Let me give a hint. If we have a brother who intends to compile the questions of Aisha radiallahu anha to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and the responses of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her questions, it is easy. Just go to Musnadul Imam Ahmad, the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad, and pick Musnadu Aisha. You pick Musnadu Aisha, the ahadith that have been reported by who? By Aisha, radiallahu anha. They are known. Fortunately, Musnadu Aisha has been translated, I insist, from the publications of Darus Salam. So go to Musnadu Aisha, the ahadith that have been reported by Aisha. Follow it one after the other. There are about over 1,200 or 300 ahadith. Follow it one after the other. You can pick out from that huge compilation the ahadith in which Aisha was asking questions and her husband was answering. Aisha would ask, the Prophet would answer. Aisha would ask, the Prophet would answer. You come out with a book. Aisha asks and the Messenger answers. So in this question, in this hadith, the Prophet answered, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Aisha, O Aisha, ما يؤمني أن يكون فيه عذاب. ما يؤمن. What is it that guarantees me? What is it that assures me أن يكون فيه عذاب? That there wouldn't be punishment in that wind that is blowing. What guarantees me that it is not about punishment? Is there any guarantee? What assures me, no, don't worry, it is not punishment. What is it? What is the guarantee that I have? So when the cloud begins to gather, and when the wind begins to blow, the Prophet becomes, he has unease showing on his face. And that's why he has taught us, alayhi salatu wasalam, as is in the hadith in the Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim, that when the wind is blowing and the clouds are gathering, we should say the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma ursilat bihi wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma ursilat bihi. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will say this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha. O Allah, I ask you for the goodness in this wind. وَخَيْرَ مَا أُرْسِلَتْ بِهِ, and the goodness with which it has been sent. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّهَا. O Allah, I ask your protection away from the evil in this wind. وَشَرِّ مَا أُرْسِلَتْ بِهِ, and in the evil that it has been sent to bring about, because Allah can send the wind to destroy it. How many times have we seen the wind lifting up a huge tree and setting it on the road? Someone comes and dies. He can set up the wind to destroy people. He can set up the wind to destroy people. Many things have happened from violent winds and clouds. So when you see the wind blowing, say this dua: Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma ursilat bihi. It is in Citadel, Hisn Muslim. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma ursilat bihi wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma ursilat bihi. Say this dua. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam answered our mother Aisha, ma yu'minni an yakuna fihi azab. What tells me that there is no, what guarantees me, what gives me the peace of mind, an yakuna fihi azab, it could be a punishment is contained in that wind or in the gathering cloud. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, udziba qawmun birrih, udziba qawmun birrih, a people were destroyed with the wind. A people, qawmun birrih, a people were destroyed with the wind. Waqadra'a qawmun al-azaba minhu, and some people got punishment from the wind. Faqalu, and they saw the cloud coming. This is haza aridu mumtiruna. They saw the cloud gathering and the wind blowing. They said haza aridun mumtiruna. They says this wind that approaches, mumtiruna, it will provide us rain. But we know how Allah completed that verse in Surah Al-Ahqaf when they said haza aridun mumtiruna. Allah said, bal huwa mustajaltun bi. That wind, in some, amongst the books of tafsir, scholars say this statement, bal huwa mustajaltun bihi, in Surah Al-Ahqaf, was actually made by Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. Because this verse, those people who were destroyed with the wind that the Prophet refers to alayhi salatu wasalam, he had said alayhi salatu wasalam, wa uhlikat al-Hud bid-dabur. Hud, wa uhlikat adun bid-dabur. The people of Hud, Ad, they were destroyed with what? Ad-dabur, the violent blowing wind. May Allah protect us. The people of Nabi Hud, and Hud is not a name that is common again. In my entire life, I've only met one boy, one man. We were on youth service together. His name was Hud. Hud was the messenger of Allah that Allah sent to his people, Ad. Ad were the people to whom Nabi Hud was sent. Hud was sent to Ad. And they were the people who came upon the earth after Tufan. After Tufan, when Allah destroyed the people of Noah. From amongst the people, amongst the Arabs, because the Ad, they are from the ancient Arabs. Those Arabs that are referred to as Al-Arabul Ariba, the ancient source Arabs. You know, because the bulk of the Arabs we have now are from the descendants of Nabi Ismail. These people are Al-Arabul Musta'araba, people who became Arabs, but originally they were not Arabs. We know Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he came and lived in Mecca, and he left his wife and son Ismail, who had the Jurhum tribe coming from Yemen. The tribe of Jurhum, they are from amongst the ancient Arabs. They are like the Ad. Ad, Jurhum, Al-Qahtani, and these are ancient Arab tribes, very old Arab tribes. They are referred to as Al-Arabul Mustaraba. But the Arabs, when Jurhum came and stayed in Mecca with Ismail and his mother, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam would come to check them, Ismail learned the language of Jurhum, which was Arabic, and began to speak Arabic with the excellent classical Arabic that we have today. So we have them being referred to as what? Al-Arabu
Al-Musta'araba. The Arabs who sought and acquired the Arabic language. So that was, but as for Ad, they were basically Arabs, and their Rasul was Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, who was sent to them. This portion that the messenger read here, alayhi salatu wasalam, occurs in Surah Al-Ahqaf. Allah said to us, Wazkur akha Adin. O Messenger of Allah, remember the brother of Ad. The brother of Ad who was sent to Ad was who? Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. And we remember in Surah Al-Fajr, Allah told us about these people. They were very, very powerful people. He said, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad. Did you not observe? Did you not take lessons from kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad? How your Lord dealt with Ad. Which Ad? Adu Ira. The tribe, that tribe of Ad was what? Adu Iram. Zatul Imad. Zatul Imad. They were a tribe of Iram, from the descendants of Iram in the people of Ad. And they were Zatul Imad. They had very big pillars because they built tents with big pillars. Iram Zatul Imad. Allati lam yukhlaqu mithluha. These people, lam yukhlaqu mithluha. There are two interpretations and the two of them are correct. Lam yukhlaqu mithluha fil bilad. The kinds of tents with huge pillars that they built, lam yukhlaqu mithluha fil bilad. Its type were not available on the land. Lam yukhlaqu mithluha fil bilad. They themselves were not, their kinds were not available on the earth at that time. The people of Ad, they were people of knowledge in terms of their worldly affairs. They were very intelligent people. Their kinds were not on the earth. If we remember in the Quran, they were asking, Man ashadda minna kuwa. Who is it that's as powerful as we are? Man ashadda minna kuwa. Who is it who has the kind of power that we have? And that was why in Surah to Hud, when Hud was talking to them, he said, Allah will increase your power. Allah will give you more power if you obey. So Allah sent Hud to them. He says in many places in the Quran, in Surah Al-Araf, Allah sent Hud to his people. He told us about it. Wa ila adin akhahum Huda. قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. Worship Allah. You do not have any person deserving of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So back in Surah Al-Ahqaf, that will be in around verse 20 or 21 in Al-Ahqaf, Allah says, وَذْكُرْ أَخَى عَدٍ. Remember the brother of Ad is أَنْذَرَ قَوْمَهُ بِالْأَحْقَافِ. When he was warning his people, Bil Ahqaf, at the area where they had a lot of sand mountains, sandstones, because in their area they had a lot of mountains, but these mountains were mountains of sandstones. So they were referred to, that area was referred to as what? Al Ahqaf. وَقَدْ خَلَتِ النُّذُرُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهَ. Before Hud alayhi salam, the people used to be told, don't worship anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I intended to make a point of reference here regarding what these messengers were telling their people. In Surah Al-Araf, when Allah says that Ibudullah, who said to his people, Qala ya qawmi Ibudullah ma lakum min ilahin ghayru, who said to his people, Ibudullah, worship Allah. مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرُ. You do not have any ilah. You do not have any deity that deserves worship. غَيْرُهُ. Apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a major point of reference here. I think we usually hardly talk about that a person affirms the oneness of Allah in terms of worship. That is, that nobody deserves to be worshipped except Allah. This is affirmation. Ulama refer to this as al-ithbat. There must also be another view for that ithbat to be accepted. The isbat is affirming worship for Allah. The nafyu is to reject the worship of any other thing apart from Allah. So if your acceptance, if you are accepting and affirming and believing and actually practicing the fact that Allah alone deserves worship, you must also negate and nullify that any other thing or person deserves worship apart from Allah. If you don't negate the worship of any other thing apart from Allah, your affirming worship for Allah alone is baseless. I hope that this point is clear. And that is the meaning of La Ilaha. This La is a La of negation. It negates that anything should be worshipped before and besides or along with Allah subhanahu. La Ilaha. Don't worship any other thing. Don't direct your worship. Don't direct your dua. Don't direct your hope. Don't direct your reliance completely. Don't do that. Don't pray to. Don't do any of this. Don't bow down to. Don't prostrate to any other thing. All of these that people bow down to and prostrate to besides Allah, they are null and void. They are not lawful. They are not deserving of worship. And there's a mistake here. Most Yoruba preachers, those afas or people who give khutbah, they make when they translate La ilaha illallah. They say kusoba ka for long. There is no king except Allah. There are kings besides Allah. There are kings besides Allah. Obawa lay your long. They say kusoba ka for long. Awon obawa lay your long. This is not the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The meaning of La ilaha illallah is that there is no deity that deserves worship. La ma'buda bihaqqin. There is no deity deserving to be worshipped. Nothing deserves to be worshipped. It is not, there is no God except Allah. No, there are gods people worship. What it is saying that these gods people worship, they do not deserve to be worshipped. This is the message of the Anbiya and Rusul. You came to invite the people to leave aside all that the people had been worshipping. That was why in the Quran, in many places, the people were saying, Ataj ajal al alihata ilahan wahid. Has Muhammad come to make all the gods to be just one? So we should not worship all the gods. We should worship only one. So there must be negation. Negation, nullifying the validity to worship any other thing besides Allah. This must be negated. Nothing apart from Allah must be worshipped. Then the other side of it is that Allah alone must be worshipped. This is the full meaning of this expression. Nothing besides Allah must be worshipped. No, nothing besides Allah deserves to be worshipped. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped. So this was the message of the Anbiya and Rusul. So when in that verse, in the 20th verse of Surah Al-Ahqaf, Allah says, Wadhkur akha adin. Remember the brother of Ad. Who is the brother of Ad? Hud alayhi salam. Iz anzara qawmahu bil ahqaf. When he was warning the people, his people, bil ahqaf, at the place where there were a lot of sandstones in their land. وَقَدْ خَلَتِ النُّذُرُ مِنْ بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ. And there were a lot of warnings before Hud came. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ. And of course, in the time of before Hud came and when Hud came, that warning had always been there. What is the warning? Allah ta'budu illa Allah. That the people should not give worship to any other thing apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hud will say to his people, Inni akhafu alaykum azaba yawmin azim. Inni akhafu alaykum. I fear that azabu yawmin azim will come to you. I fear if you continue to worship any other thing besides Allah, I fear that Allah will punish you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say to our people, if you give worship to any other thing besides Allah, wallahi, I fear that the punishment of Allah will come unto you. If you worship every other thing or any other thing, anything, if you direct worship to any other thing, maybe a shehu, some Muslims worship Shehu because they pray to Shehu. Shehu, give me money. Shehu, protect me. Shehu, give me children. Shehu, give me knowledge. Shehu, give me success. When a person does this, he is worshipping Shehu. You should not ask anybody for knowledge. Don't ask anybody for wealth. Don't ask anybody for all of these, for long life. What the human beings do not have the capability to give, don't ask. When you ask them for long life, the human being cannot give long life. Allah alone does that. If you do that, you are directing worship to other than Allah. Don't make sujood to Shehu. Don't make sujood or ruku to Shehu. Because when you do that, you are worshipping others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do that, إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ, I fear that on a day Allah will punish you subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect each and every one of us. قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا لِتَأْفِكَنَا عَنْ آلِهَتِنَا فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا إِنْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. قَالُوا, the people said to Hud alayhi salam, and those who usually say and confront the messengers, they are the mala, the elites. If you go to Surah Al-A'raf, I think that's in verse 65, Allah said to us, قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ, the elites among those who disbelieved. So the elites are usually the ones who confront the messengers of Allah. When Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam delivered the message to, who were those who confronted him? Elites. Allah told us that in Surah Hud. قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا. The elites and their people among those who disbelieved in Nuh, they were the ones who confronted Nuh. And that's why even today, those people who will be telling scholars that they are unreasonable, they are those who see themselves as elites. Mr. Elites, please be careful. It's a common thing that's repeated in history. Those who easily abuse the people of knowledge and biznillah righteousness are usually the elites. So they said to Hud alayhi salatu wasalam, they said, Inna lanaraka fi safaha. What we think of you, Hud, is that naraka fi safahatin. You are being stupid. You are being senseless. You don't have sense. So easily elites accuse knowledgeable people. They are not senseless. They are senseless. They are not exposed. They are uncivilized. They land on in a disclosure. They begin to cast aspersions at them. Because when you cast aspersions at the people who have brought the message to you, what you are telling the people is that they should not accept the message. So the elites easily cast aspersions. They cast suspicions. They ascribe evil to those who bring those messages to them. We hope and beg Allah not to make our own elites to be like this. But in the past, those who led rebellion against the messengers of Allah were the elites. For the Qawm Nuh, they were even saying, قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا. They said to Nuh alayhi salam, مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا. We don't see you except as a human being like us. Nuh, you are just one of us. Please, let's hear something. وَمَا نَرَاكَ تَبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا. And we do not see anybody following you. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا. Except those ones who are the useless ones amongst us. They are poor. They are not educated. They are not exposed. They didn't travel to Dubai. They didn't do anything. They are the ones following you. وَمَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا. وَمَا نَرَاكَ تَبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأْيِ. People who are not exposed. People, they said that to Nuh alayhi salam. They said that to Hud too. They said that to Saleh. The elites are usually proud. They are usually proud, and quick to insult and abuse those who have brought the messages to them. May Allah protect us. Here they were saying to Hud alayhi salam, وَإِنَّا لَنَظُنُّكَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. We think that you are a liar. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَيْسَ بِي سَفَهَ. Hud went on to say, I am not a stupid person. I am not suffering from stupidity. And so on, if we go back to these verses, this itself is sufficient for a whole lesson. But the point here is that those who easily confront the messengers of Allah and the people of knowledge are those who see themselves as elites. You are a professor of neurology. That does not make you a perfect person who understands law. You will not claim knowledge of law. You will not claim knowledge of ophthalmology. Ophthalmology is just the next page. It's part of medicine. If you're a specialist in neurosurgery, you will not abuse and insult another, let me even say ophthalmologist. You won't. You say you are not a specialist in that. But you find it easy to insult and abuse someone who has spent 20, 30, just the same number of years you have spent learning neuroscience. He has spent it learning the Quran and the Sunnah. You find it easy to insult him. You find it easy to abuse him. And that's not fair. So the elites were those who usually come to insult these messengers of Allah. They say, "Aji'itana lita'afikana an alihatina." Have you come to us with lies, lita'afikana, to distract us, an alihatina, away from our gods that we are worshipping? Then they say, "Fa'tina bima ta'iduna in kunta min as-sadiqin." You are harassing us with punishment from Allah. Bring that punishment. Let's see. They begin to harass them. They say, punish us. Let's see. Because they see themselves as big. They see themselves as powerful. They see themselves as untouchable because of the wealth that Allah has given them. When asked, these same people in the Quran, when they were saying, "Man ashaddu minna quwwa," who is as powerful as we are? Allah said, "Awalam yaraw anna Allah alladhi khalaqahum huwa ashaddu minhum quwwa." Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said, when a people brag about a thing, Allah brings the opposite of that thing to destroy them. So when they were bragging about power, Allah brought wind. What is the weight of wind? Wind, as light as wind, it destroyed the people who bragged about power. They were bragging, they have quwwa. So, but Allah brought wind. Allah brought wind to destroy them. And they were destroyed. May Allah protect us. So they are the ones who were saying that, "Fa'atina bima ta'iduna in kunta min as-sadiqin." If you are saying the truth, bring that punishment. Let's see. And as humble as the messengers of Allah would be, Hud alayhi salatu wasalam said to them, "Qala innama al-ilmu inda Allah." The knowledge of whether you be punished or not, when it will come, that one is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُبَلِّغُكُمْ مَا أُرْسِلْتُ بِهِ. My own duty is to tell you what I have been told to tell you. My own is to bring the message to you. وَلَكِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ قَوْمًا تَجْهَلُونَ. And I find you behaving ignorantly. You are moving away from knowledge and guidance. So Allah says, فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا. What happened to these people was that Allah stopped the rains from them for a long time. No rain dropped anywhere in their town. Ad al-Iraq, the people to whom Hud alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, Allah stopped the rains from them. So they became very, very, they had problems. Their farms, their vegetation did not grow. You know what will happen? They had drought and then food scarcity. And so on. They didn't even find water to drink. So فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِ. When they found the clouds gathering towards their valleys, they were very, very happy. قَالُوا هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْتِرُنَا. They say, this cloud is coming. مُمْتِرُنَا. It is going to provide us rain. The ulama say, Hud said to them, "Bal huwa mastajaltum bi." What you think is not what is coming. You are the one saying, "Let Allah bring that punishment, Abi." That cloud you are seeing is not a cloud of rain. You know they will call him a liar again. Because what they have known in their science is that whenever the clouds come, it is for rain. But for the Anbiya and Rusul, they know that beyond rain, Allah can bring from a cloud a punishment. Allah can bring from a cloud ease for the people. So when they saw the cloud, they said, "Haza aritu mumtiruna." This is a coming cloud, mumfiruna, it will bring us rain. And the messenger said to them, Bal, you are wrong. Huwa mastajaltum bihi. It is that thing you have been calling for. That punishment you have been calling for, that is it you have seen upcoming. And then he says, Rihun fiha azabun alim. That is a wind that contains azabun alim, a severe punishment. It was a violent wind. It went on for 8 days. Sabata ayamin wasama. Sabata layali wasamaniyata ayamin husu. It went on 7 and 8 nights and 7 days. It went on 7 days and 8 nights. It went on blowing violently. It blew violently. Destroyed them. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah says, Tudammiru kulla shay'in bi amri rabbiha. That wind was destroying everything that it came. فَأَصْبَحُوا لَا يُرَى إِلَّا مَسَكِينَ. They became a people that you would not find anything around except their homes that had been destroyed. The remnants of the destroyed homes. The ulama explained that the wind carried people up and smashed them on the ground. كَأَنَّهُمْ أَعْجَازُ نَخْلٍ خَوِيَةٍ. They became like the cut off trunks. You know when the trunks of date palm are cut off on the ground. A body without head, the head without feet, the body without the limbs. The wind had cut off them. This was how they became underground. These were the people who bragged to the messengers of Allah about knowledge, about power, about technology, about exposure, and all of these. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam talked to our hadith, whenever he saw a gathering cloud or a blowing wind, he sought refuge in Allah. He would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma ursilat bihi wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma ursilat bihi. One major lesson from this hadith today is that as you smile, don't forget that you have a duty to serve Allah. In the times of your joy, in the times of your delight, don't go beyond bounds. Some women, on the days of marriage, before marriage, they are on jilbab, they are on niqab. But on the day of marriage, they will remove the jilbab. They say today is the day of happiness. Don't suspend worship to Allah when you are happy. These people, you see this hadith, it was brought to us when they were talking about the smiles of the Prophet. Yes, the Prophet will smile, but there is something that will not make him smile. The kinds of things that will not make him smile is what? The gathering cloud and what? The blowing wind. When he saw these two things, he would seek protection from Allah. Why? These same things that people see and enjoy and delight, they were the same reasons, they were the same things some people saw, they were happy, thinking that it will bring them succor, thinking that it will bring them goodness. But it ended up becoming the means by which they were destroyed. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect each and every one of us, to keep us firm upon Tawheed, the worship of Allah alone. Not to make us people who worship Allah, who pray to Allah in the times of adversity. And then when Allah brings us ease, people begin to do what they like. May Allah protect us from all of this. May Allah make us pious, humble servants of His. May He, out of His mercy, forgive us our shortcomings. May Allah forgive us our mistakes. May Allah forgive us our sins and make us from the people that He will rectify and grant His mercy on the day of Qiyamah. Abba Abdul Rahman, if we have a few questions that we can attend to.
Naam, salawatullahi alaykum ya shaykhana.
Ameen wa iyaakum Abba Abdul Rahman.
Now, the first question says, what is the ruling on watching movies generally?
Well, we'll answer this question from two angles. From the first angle is the angle of the scholars who say that there is no difference between the television as we have it and pictures. In fact, if you go to older encyclopedias, as I have done in the past, you find them telling you that the television are a series of fast-moving pictures. So there's no difference between the TV and the pictures. So the narration and images, the narrations that prohibit us from taking pictures as Muslims are the same narrations that prohibit us from watching TVs. This is from one angle. The narrations that prohibit us from taking pictures, except well, pictures of knowledge. You want to teach somebody anatomy now. I can snap that place. Or as the ulama have said, someone did something criminal. He runs away. You can show the world his picture and things like that. Someone can ask, how about the pictures of money? If a person comes in the position of authority to change that, he can change that. That does not mean that it is lawful in Islam. If you say, okay, bring the money because money has pictures on it, it doesn't mean that because money has pictures on it, I have the blame. Those who place the pictures on that money have the blame, not me. So let's not use this as a matter to throw a joke regarding a matter that is serious. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that those who make pictures will be drawn on the day of Qiyamah and they will be commanded to breathe life into what they have made. So many of the scholars also consider the television to be in the category of these kinds of pictures that have been prohibited. So from this angle, everything called a TV is prohibited. Every TV is prohibited. Anything TV do is prohibited. Except you also want to show things like those who in medical science, maybe bodies of people and things like this, as we have given some kinds of exceptions in the previous statements. The second aspect to look at the TV is, what effect has the TV brought to homes? What effect? Because a thing, even if you say it is slothful, if you look at the effects of it, the influence of it, if the bulk of what it brings is evil, then it will take the ruling of a prohibition. The TVs has destroyed homes more today than any other single thing. Perhaps when phones came, phones have come to surpass the TVs. So largely, the TV has been very destructive to homes. It allows you to watch what is not lawful. Many homes, and it is a major source of distractions. Even non-Muslims have written a lot of books about what the kind of evils that the televisions have brought to homes. So if we check this matter from this angle, then we will say that what we should do is to avoid the TVs, take them away from our homes. Abba Yusuf.
Naam, ya Sheikh Adam.
Abba Abdurrahman, Maziratan, can you come back to that question?
He said, what is the ruling on watching movies generally?
So I hope that is clear. So the same applies to watching the movies on your phone. Don't watch movies. They waste your time. Become dull. Scientists say that the time that you spend watching the TV, your brain becomes idle. The frontal part of the brain becomes idle. You can go and read about it, about the evils of TVs. You have access to information now. Just Google it. The evils of TV. Books have been written regarding this. And a lot of even lectures have been given regarding this. Avoid movies. Don't watch movies because they end up destroying you. When you watch a man kissing a woman, is that lawful for you in Islam? Is that lawful for a man or a woman sit down to watch another man? And most of the movies, 90% of movies have these kinds of things. They call it romance. Likewise, violence. Most of the violence we see in society today as a result of movies. Most of the ritual acts people commit today in society, they learned it from movies. I remember about 10 to 11 years ago, there was a robbery incident in the US. I followed it up. And when those people were accosted by government and they were asked, how did they rob the bank so brilliantly, so to speak, they said that they just watched it in a movie. The movie was shown shortly before that robbery. And those armed robbers learned that robbery that they did from that movie. So when you watch movies, you go to Babalawo, you think that the way to solve a problem is to go to Babalawo. So people go. They learned a lot of things. Rituals have been propagated today upon the TV much more than any other means. So you see young people looking for rituals. Most of these young people were groomed watching TVs. So they are just doing what you are seeing. Or they are just doing what they had seen. They are just doing what they had seen. So the movies have destroyed the society more than anything. Now there's another page to it. So Muslims say, okay, let's do Islamic movie. So how do you do the Islamic movie without falling into prohibitions? You firstly fall into prohibitions of making pictures. You fall into the prohibitions of lying. You will call somebody Umar on the TV screen when his name is Muhammad. And it is prohibited in Islam to tell a lie. You will ascribe a woman to a man that she is his husband, or she is his wife, or he is her husband. And this is prohibited in Islam. As far as Islam is concerned, if you jokingly ascribe a woman to a man, if you ascribe your daughter to a man, and you say you have not married your daughter to that man, in Islam it's a lie. Because nikah becomes affirmed, whether by joke or by seriousness. So when you act a thing, a young girl acts the wife of a man. In Islam, she becomes his wife, if it was by the permission of her father. So all of these kinds of things goes to prohibition. You want to show the picture of a man who was a kafir in the film. You bring one boy, his name is Abdullah. He's not a kafir, but you want him to behave like a kafir. It is prohibited to jokingly bow down to an idol. You bring him to bow down to an idol. What are you doing? You are committing shirk in the name of acting a film. Avoid movies. Run away from movies. They destroy people. They destroy societies. We beg Allah to pardon and protect us all.
Amen. Now another one says, how is it if a Muslim reverts to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha based on her status among our mothers as the soulmate of Rasulullah, love of his life, or his true love, being expressions commonly used in Western literature to describe lovers? Jazakumullah khairan.
It is better to avoid these expressions, Abba Yusuf, so that just by way of not falling into error, just by way of avoiding error, and it is reasonable to avoid falling into error. So you avoid all these kinds of expressions. If you say he was his most beloved, we know easily what that means. He was his beautiful wife. Yeah, she was beautiful. Or when you say the son of Asma bint Abi Bakr, he lived with our mother Aisha. He described that she was very beautiful, radiallahu anha, and she was very brilliant. So describe her as easily as will not bring in issues of ambiguities. And it is from our religion to avoid anything ambiguous. And ambiguity is something that can have two meanings, a meaning of goodness and a meaning of evil. So just stay within limits. Don't go beyond bounds. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. It says, say what you want to say. Be straightforward. La yastajriyannakum ash-shaytan. In the process of trying to look for big words, big grammar, sweet expressions, shaitan can push you into what you don't expect. So be as simple as possible in your expressions. So you don't need to start in the love of his life, the head, the love of his head, and all of it. His beautiful, beloved wife. It's a simple expression that says it all. Be clear, be simple in your expressions when you talk about these people so that you don't fall into sin. Shaitan does not push you to fall into what you have not intended at all. May Allah protect us all.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair.
Ameen.
Another question
from a sister here about our women who have now begun to video themselves and send on Instagram and social media. This is from the aspects of Jahiliyyah. This is from the aspects of Jahiliyyah. Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Don't come out in the way women used to come out in the days of Jahiliyyah. Women used to present themselves for people to see and be adored. They used to present themselves to people see them and say, oh, you are nice. Oh, you are beautiful. Oh, this your jilbab is fine. Oh, this your this. Men and women begin to say that to you. It is from the way of the people of Jahiliyyah. Women should not do that. Even if you veil your face and do that, you are from Jahiliyyah. Don't video yourself for public consumption. It is Jahiliyyah. It contradicts the niqab you are wearing itself if you think about it very well. So don't bring yourself in display in the public. Jilbab is supposed to cover you up. You now video yourself and throw yourself out. What are you doing? I think people should be reasonable in these kinds of situations. Don't video yourself. Secondly, you are also contravening if they say video or snapping pictures is permissible in some things. Is it permissible also for a woman to do that and send herself? Let's be reasonable. Let's not joke. Let's not make this seem of a din of our desires. It's just about what I want. Islam is not about what you want. It's for you to submit to what Allah has legislated for you. For those of our sisters who do that, we beg Allah to forgive them. We beg Allah to make it easy for them to go away from this shameful practice.
Naam. Jazakumullah khair.
I mean, Abu Abdurrahman, the time is far spent already.
Yes.
Can we stop here today, inshallah?
Yes, Shaykh. Jazakumullah khair.
I mean, salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.